Good morning, New Hope, Mililani!
We're the Yoshioka family, and we're glad we could be here this weekend to do service, to do church together. Let us now prepare our minds and prepare our hearts to enter into a time of worship together.
Let's pray together.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to just come before you and praise and worship and to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just fill this space right now, Lord, and just fill us and flow in and through us so that we may be an extension of your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Here we go!
Well, good morning, church. We're super excited that you could join us for another Sunday service. We're about to enter into a time of worship. So finish up whatever you're doing because it's time to give Jesus some praise. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go. As I reflect, I find perspective. They're in the best and worst days of this life. You were always on my side. You're in the pain, you're in the promise, and on the day the furnace finds my faith. You're the force within the flame. sign that you are with me. Fire by night, a guiding light to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters of my belief. Oh, Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Preparing for this, I think a lot of us are aware of what's going on, and I think it's such a beautiful picture of what God, or how God, really gets in the lives of His people.
Amen.
And delivers them from the inside out.
Amen.
You know, in the bridge it talks about, you stepped into my Egypt. Egypt is some kind of weariness, it's a dry season of your life, it's an oppression that you may be feeling. In the middle of it all with you, and He grabs you by the hand like a loving father and walks you out into your victory. So I don't know about you, church, but I think we can agree that our nation is under attack.
Yeah.
Not against other brothers and sisters, but from an evil spirit, and we know who the adversary is. So I just pray that as we continue through the rest of this song, as we continue the rest of this worship set, that we would bind our hearts in unity and sing these anthems to the Lord. Sing these anthems over our nation, that we would be the light, the church on the hill, that we would be the beacon of love that changes the world.
Amen.
The same way the same love changed the world 2,000 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
Sing it out. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by.
God, I'll sing of all You've done. Death is swallowed.
just come to you right now with humble hearts, with thankful hearts, Lord God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Father, may we never forget that sacrifice, because in that moment, Lord God, hope was restored to the world. And Father, we just pray right now that even though we are in troubling times, that we would find the strength to shift our perspective back onto you, Lord, our ultimate hope. In a world that can be distracting, Father, we just ask that you keep us in the center of your perfect will, that our hope would not be found in man, that our hope would not be found in a system, Lord God, but that our hope would only be found in you. That when we are anchored to you, nothing can knock us down. Father, for you are the light. You are the goodness in our lives. And we come before you right now with humble hearts, just wanting to worship and exalt you in this place. Each and every one of our places, Lord God. Father, because in your word it says that where there is unity, there is a commanded blessing. And right now we unify our hearts as one church to lift your name on high, Father, so that you can draw all men unto yourself. Amen. Let's sing it together, church. Come on.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
I will. voice, sing I will.
I will remain confident inside the sea, the goodness of God.
Sing that one more time, sing I will.
I will remain confident inside the sea.
Everyone, like you, my heart has just been so heavy because of what's going on in our country. And would you just join me right now in a word of prayer? Let's all join our hearts together. Just stop whatever you're doing. And would you just join me right now in this word of prayer for intercession for our country? Lord, in Jesus' name, we just want to intercede together, adding our combined faith together, God, for our country. And Lord, we want to come against every evil, every injustice, all racism, but also all violence. And we come against lies that are being spoken over people right now. And we want to start with this murder of George Floyd. God, there's just been 100% condemnation for what took place. What happened to him. And God, we just want to ask forgiveness, God. Ask forgiveness for violence that's taking place in our country, starting with that one. But we're also coming against the looting of people's businesses, the violence against just innocent people, innocent bystanders, the fires that are being set like all over, just all the theft and the stealing that's happening. Stores that are being ripped off. These are people's livelihoods. And we just come against that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that has no place in the United States of America. And Lord, we pray that you would just bring all of that to justice. All of it to justice, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we want to say a very special prayer for our police forces right now. All of our police officers, our first responders, God, they're being shot at, they're being attacked, they're being abused. Every kind of abuse is being hurled at them. And there's an undermining of our law enforcement right now. We just come against that right now in Jesus' name. And we pray for, first of all, just safety for all of our police officers. We just pray for protection over them. Every city, Lord, every one of our officers that's trying to do their job. And all the first responders all the firefighters that are trying to put out fires. And we just want to pray protection over them. And God, we want to invite you to bring reconciliation, because that's your kingdom coming, to bring love and forgiveness. And Lord, would you just reign over the United States of America? We invite you to be king over us. Starting with those of us that already know you, we declare that you are king over us. And so, God, we want to be part of the solution. We want to intercede correctly. We want to intercede with your mind and with God speak and with nothing of our own flesh. And so, God, today we join our hearts together and pray for the United States of America in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.
They just want to stand up for what they believe in. Well, hi, Alyssa. Thank you for joining us today. Alyssa Sapp has been a part of our congregation in Hawaii, now is back living with her grandmother in Huntington Beach, California. And so we've asked Alyssa to join us today just to share her heart on the current events of our time right now, which is Black Lives Matter. And if you're tracking along with the news and maybe social media, you may be aware of this very, very important cause that a lot of people are standing up for right now. And so, Alyssa, we just want to ask you a question here. And one of the questions we wanted to ask is, recently, as a participant at the Huntington Beach, California protest for Black Lives Matter, Can you share a little bit about that experience, how it was for you, what it was like? How could you communicate? What is the heart behind the cause going out and having peaceful protests?
It was difficult being there. There were a lot of people that came out on both sides. There were protesters and counter-protesters. When you're in that situation, no matter what side you're on, you're really faced with evil, honestly. You know, there is racism that is alive in our country. And, it's hurt people hurting people. And it was difficult. And it's something that you definitely have to pray up for. The heart behind the peaceful protest is that people just want to be heard. They want to have their voice heard, and they don't want to be looked over anymore. Most people are not looking to cause havoc or to riot or to loot or any of that. They just want to stand up for what they believe in.
If you could be heard, what would you tell these people?
All lives matter cannot matter until Black lives matter, because all lives do matter. And I think once we face the fact that there are real injustices to to Black lives specifically, that Black lives are being threatened. All lives do matter. We all matter. God loves us all, no matter what we look like, no matter what color we are. Raise awareness for people that are being oppressed, for injustice. And I think that that's what I would want people to hear.
Fantastic. I think you're right. I think that there is a need for awareness. You know, people may be ignorant to know. They think, oh, well, we live in the United States of America. Everybody has freedoms and they have rights and they have choices. And I don't understand, you know, what the big issue is. But the truth of the matter is that racism is still prevalent. It's still here. And yes, maybe it's not as prevalent as it was back before they abolished slavery, but it rears its ugly head in all kinds of ways. And obviously the ultimate form of racism is what has happened, and seeing Black lives and people feel threatened and even killed because of the color of their skin. After that experience, I know you felt very led to go back to that very place where you had a peaceful protest and you wanted to gather folks to pray. So why don't you share a little bit of how that was for you? And in hindsight, maybe why you feel, or maybe now you're realizing why it's so important to bring prayer at the center of all of the this very important causes.
Well, I realized really what we were facing is, like I said, it is evil. It's not something that we as people can change in the hearts of man. That's something that is up to God. And it's up to God to convict them. It's up to God to change the hearts of people. There would be nothing more powerful than to go back to the place where I happened to experience just horrifying racism, and to reclaim it. Honestly, I wanted to reclaim my hometown. I wanted to reclaim our city, and I didn't want to let evil win in that scenario. It actually went really well. And besides myself, there were four other people that came, and we just had a time of prayer over our city, over our state, our country, over the lawmakers, over law enforcement. Someone actually ended up getting healed that day. And, you know, it was amazing. It was great. It was good.
That's so fantastic. I definitely see this as an Esther moment for you, that God is raising you up for such a time as this to be that light in a dark place. And like I said earlier, we're so proud of you. And one final question, what would you say people who are watching could do to help support this very important cause?
I think the most important thing is to use your voice and don't be afraid to speak up. If you can peacefully protest, but the most important thing is changing the laws that are in place that allow for these situations to go unchecked. Petitions that can be signed, there are things to be voted on. And I think now more than ever, we're more aware that voting at the very, you know, quote unquote, lowest level is probably the most important thing, other than voting for who is in our federal office. Petitions, making yourself aware of what's going on, using your voice, and just getting out there and voting.
Very well said. Very, very well said. Thank you so much. I pray that this video empowers people. I pray it illuminates them to truth. And I do pray that it activates them to stand up for something that and use their voice. And most importantly, vote. They have the power to vote and they have a power to make a change with that vote. And so we will be praying for you and everybody out in Huntington Beach and all across the nation for that matter. We just want to know, let you know that New Hope Central Oahu stands behind you 100% and we can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, can't wait to see you guys too.
Hey everyone, it's Pastor Mark, and with restrictions loosening on gatherings, we are looking for people in the church who are feeling led to open their homes for small gatherings for online service. If that's you, would you please fill out one of our online connection cards and let us know that that's something you'd be willing to do, and we'll put you in touch with someone who's looking for a place to gather. And if you're looking for a place to gather, fill out the online connection card as well and let us know that that's you so we can connect you with someone who's hosting our weekend service from their home. We're very excited about things returning to a state of normalcy and we'll keep you posted as things develop. Until then, God bless and aloha.
Aloha, I'm Pastor Rich, and thank you for joining us today at New Hope Central Oahu Online. If this is your first experience with us, we are so excited that you found us. To get to know you better, we invite you to fill out our online connection card. That's how we can best get you connected to the various ministries that can help you in your spiritual journey. As you're filling that out, I do have a few things to share with you. Today, we are launching our Children's Ark Online. Each campus will be providing 30 minutes of Christian children's programming every Sunday, and that's perfect for the keiki to enjoy with the family. In Mililani, it will be at 9 a.m. on Sundays, right between Sunday services. In Wahiwa, it will be at 8:15 a.m. before service. And in Haleiwa, it will be at 10 a.m. right after Sunday service. So be sure to gather up the kids and watch together, and let it spark spiritual conversations in your home. The next announcement is regarding Aloha Teams. The food distribution went so well that it's expanding. That means we still need your help to refill our supplies of canned and dry goods to prepare for these. In Wahiwa, the next food distribution is going to be on Friday, June 19th from 10 to noon. And we're expanding in Haleiwa on Friday, July 17th from noon to 2 p.m. Now, when we took our recent survey, many of you responded that you can help by providing food and supplies to those that need them. So this seems like a perfect match for the New Hope Central Oahu family to make a difference in our community. To arrange for drop-off of any of these donations, please contact Kimmy at goalohateam@gmail.com. For more information about Transformation Academy, Ohana Groups, or anything else here happening at New Hope Central Oahu, please visit our website, nhcohawaii.org. Well, now is the time where we continue in our worship through giving. If you're new to New Hope Central Oahu, then please consider this service as our gift to you. But if you do consider this as your home church, then we encourage you to give as the Lord leads. How? Well, you can give using the buttons right here on this page. You can click the Give with Pushpay button in the upper right of our website, nhcohawaii.org, or you can text the letters NHCO to 77977 and follow the prompts. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray for the offering. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your gifts to us, God, every day. Lord, we recognize that everything we have has come from you. And Lord, we just ask that as we give back to your kingdom, Lord, that you would use it to bless those in our community and bless us, Lord, as well. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We know you're going to use it to do amazing things in the lives of people, Lord. Thank you for letting us be a part of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, now is the time where we launch into our new series. So let me introduce our senior pastor, Mike Palumpo, as he kicks it off with this sermon titled, Kingdom Culture.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our house. Spent a lot of time here during quarantine. The Palumpo family moved in just before Christmas of 1991, over 28 years ago. Mona immediately fell in love with the house because of the tile flooring and the huge living room for ministry. Pastor Mark was 5 years old when we moved in. Rachel was two. And Caleb, well, he was a twinkle in Daddy's eye. This is the blood orange tree that my mom and I planted in 2004 after our family reunion at Lake Tahoe. Mark just graduated from high school. And here is where Rachel practiced piano when she was little, for hours and hours. And over here is where I had Caleb stick his handprints after Christmas 1 year. Today, Mona and I are making precious new memories with our grandkids. Family. There's no way to understate how important family is to us. Is it any wonder that the devil would set his sights on your family? He's got his red dot on your marriage and your kids. Arguably, the most difficult place to be a Christian is at home. So, for the next 5 weeks, let's ask the Lord what He thinks about family. Don't forget how we summarize in one word our vision for New Hope Central Oahu in 2020. Kingdom. His kingdom come on earth, or in Hawaii, as our t-shirts say, as it is in heaven. So we need to have a conversation about how to embrace God's kingdom in the most challenging place on earth to be a Christian, at home, with family. How many of us have at least a little family dysfunction now and then? If every now and then you don't have one or two passionate conversations at home, then you're either on your honeymoon or you're dead. Husband sees it one way, wife sees it totally different. Daddy sees it one way, kids totally different. Just remember, when Jesus comes into our lives, He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And when Jesus takes over, there's a completely different, here it is, culture at home. We're calling it a kingdom culture. A kingdom culture happens when you recognize that Jesus is king over your family. The opposite of a kingdom culture is what the Bible calls a worldly culture. Jesus talked about it here. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Paul famously talked about it here. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That, by the way, is the second most important verse in the whole Bible. The world even has its own God King, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The Greek word for world in these passages is aion, which is more of a reference to the age that we're living in. So for now, we're living in the age where Satan is the god of this world. But as we all know, his days are numbered. And soon, maybe sooner than we think, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is why the most powerful prayer that we can pray over our families is, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Because as we speak, the old matrix of the dark world is being remade into the kingdom of God on earth. Super exciting, right? What we're going to learn in this new series is this totally new and different way of living. When Jesus takes over our families, He establishes an entirely new kingdom culture, which may feel completely foreign to what we're used to. And we will need to renew our minds in order to be transformed to this new culture. You might be thinking, Mike, I'm good. I've accepted Christ. No sweat. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. Really? So what will you do if your husband tells you that he's having an affair? Or you discover your son is addicted to porn? Or your daughter is dating a non-Christian? Not so easy after all. When Jesus truly takes over, He will establish a kingdom culture in your family where He is king over your household. And so now you allow Him to take the lead and help you navigate through all the worldliness that your family was born with. It's a kingdom culture that may feel totally foreign at first, like you're in a totally different country with a totally different culture than the one that you grew up in. Did you know that gifting someone a pair of shoes in China is considered bad luck? Or that showing up on time for dinner in Tanzania is considered rude? And in Singapore, chewing gum just might land you in jail. When traveling to different countries, you would do well to learn the culture so you don't get in trouble. In the same way, Jesus tells us that his kingdom is not of this world and that his people are not to be conformed to this world. So buckle in, because over the next few weeks, you may hear some things about marriage, divorce, dating, and sexuality that may sound completely different from what you've always known. So let me summarize. A kingdom culture is where Jesus is king over your family, and so his will is preferred over our own, and the family learns to worship and serve Jesus and each other in a spirit of love and unity. A worldly culture is where everyone is doing his own thing, which is what Satan wants, and each person in the family prefers to live for himself, looking out for his own interests, leading to arguing, division, pain, and heartache. If you were to enter a home with a kingdom culture, you would feel the shalom of the presence of King Jesus. If you were to enter a worldly home, well, you get the picture. Which direction is your family in? A kingdom culture or the world? Throughout this whole series, we will compare and contrast God's kingdom culture with worldliness. So what is step one in cultivating a kingdom culture at home? What I'm about to tell you is how the Polampos established a kingdom culture in our family, and it will be the key to establishing a kingdom culture in yours as well. Become a born again, sold out, spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ. Once he becomes king in your life, your family is that much closer to establishing a kingdom culture. So, once upon a time, Mike Polampo was not a follower of Jesus. Ask my family of origin, and they will tell you what a mean, selfish, unkind, lustful person I used to be. I get the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. And that selfishness got me in trouble at home, at school, with girls. Someday, I hope I can apologize to some old friends for the way I used to be. But then, Jesus found me. The summer of 1975. When I came to Christ, I was radically born again. My heart was overflowing with the love of God. I wanted to tell everybody I knew about Jesus, especially my family. That's how you know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just won't shut up about Jesus. The first person I led to Christ was my sister Layla, and then my brothers Jay, Ray, and Joe. And together, 10 years later, we led our parents to Christ. If you want to establish a kingdom culture in your family, then step one, and this is the most important step of all, you need to get radically born again, sold out, and spirit-filled for the King. You can't lead your family where you've never been yourself. But listen, once Jesus gets a hold of you, there is absolutely no stopping him. In fact, do you know he wants this to happen more than you do? He's waiting for you to completely embrace his amazing love for you. And he can't wait to work through you so your entire family becomes the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Genesis chapter 1 describes this beautiful relationship between the Father and his children, Adam and Eve. The Garden of Eden is actually the Hebrew perspective of heaven on earth. Adam and Eve, mankind's first family, living under the loving sovereignty of the Father. Of course, this is where we also first learn how the serpent deceived Adam and Eve to sever their relationship with God and do their own thing. So they were cast out of Eden, cursed to live a severed life. Looking back on that story, it is totally insane when you analyze what the devil was able to do. In short, the serpent said, "If you eat the fruit, then you will be like God." But wait a second. They're already like God, made in his image. So the devil deceived them into sinning against God in order to get what they already had? Are you following this? It's a lot like Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Worship me, and all these kingdoms will be yours. But Jesus is already king of the universe and rules over everything. God said in Genesis, mankind was to take dominion over the whole world. So once again, the devil is trying to deceive Jesus into sinning against God in order to give him what he already has. Can you see that when you live selfishly, you are playing right into the devil's hands? In Christ, you already have every spiritual blessing. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that he will give you what you want when you already have everything you need through Christ our Lord. The devil doesn't have either the power or the authority to make you like God or put the world at your feet. On the other hand, through Christ, you become a new creation, made in his image, and you begin to take proper dominion over the earth once again. Jesus is more eager to establish his kingdom culture in your family than you are. It's what he had planned since Genesis and the beginning of time. To the church at Laodicea, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So in the first century, the Christian church met in homes. There would have been a godly family who lived in that home. While we were in Israel, we went to Capernaum, where Peter's family is from. Jesus had church in Peter's house, and a huge revival broke out. People got saved and healed. Then, from there, the movement spread, and Christians had fellowship in each other's homes. I wonder if God is calling us back to meeting in homes for a while. I have no idea when the school cafeteria will open again, and I'm told that when they do, the restrictions are going to be super strict. And we're over a year away from opening our new building. So welcome to the new normal as we all begin to reopen after quarantine. Jesus stands at the door and he's knocking, asking if you'll let him in to your home. When we first moved into our house around Christmas of 1991, one of the first things that we did was dedicate our home to Jesus for him to use any way he desired. We had Campus Life youth meetings here for years. When my best friend, Mark Olmos, planted a church called Faith Christian Fellowship, he started right here in our house. In fact, our next door neighbors, Art and Michelle, came to Christ in those early years. Then, of course, when New Hope Central Oahu first started, we had lots of get-togethers right here with leadership. There's no limit to what can happen when Jesus is king over your home. But here's the thing. Those things didn't happen because someone asked us. Mona and I wanted our home to be used for God's glory. Family. There's just no way to understate how important family is to us. And there's no doubt that the absolute best version of your family is the kingdom version, where Jesus is king over every person and every area of your household, establishing a kingdom culture. If your family has a kingdom culture, then you guys will prefer God speak over self speak. You will see a dramatic change in the God-I-you dynamic of all your relationships, where each person is wonderfully connected to God and relating to others in the family from the security and confidence of God's love. From the God-I-you created by a kingdom culture, you first see yourself as extremely valuable in the eyes of God. And then you see others through the eyes of the Father. Parents do not see just their children in their current state of immaturity, but with all the potential and possibilities intended by the Father. A wife does not just see her husband's failures and shortcomings, but also God's promise that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And a husband does not see himself as just a breadwinner, but a spiritual leader bent on leaving a powerful Christian legacy for his family for generations to come. The opposite of a kingdom culture is the dark world, ruled by Satan, where every person thinks only of himself. This is where a family knows mostly fighting, arguing, selfishness, addictions, and despair. Not long ago, our amazing daughter-in-law, Jay Lee, sent a video of the grandkids reciting scripture. We have other videos of the grandkids singing worship songs. We play these over and over. I cannot begin to describe for you how incredibly fulfilling it is to see a kingdom culture in our family. Our prayer is that this will continue generation after generation for Evangeline and Judah's kids and their children's children's children until Jesus comes back. If you want your family to have a kingdom culture, then take step one. Make Jesus the undisputed king of your life. Don't worry about your spouse, your kids, or your parents. I'm talking about you. Become radically born again, sold out, and filled with the Spirit today. And then go to war for your family instead of going to war against your family. When Jesus becomes your king, then you've taken step one in Jesus becoming the king over the rest of your family. Pray with me now with all your heart. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I crown you as king of my life today, making me a brand new person, born again, sold out, and filled with your Spirit. Establish a kingdom culture in my house, like Joshua declared over his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I repent, reject, and renounce all darkness in my life and in my family. All fighting, arguing, selfishness, addiction, and despair needs to go now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, expel the devil and his lies from my house, and I embrace for myself and my home your shalom peace as Jesus, the Prince of Peace, takes residence in my house. Jesus, make our house your home. Bring us to the place so that wherever your will is for our house, we will do it. Your kingdom come, your will be done in our family as it is in heaven. This I pray in the matchless name of the one whose name is above all other names, Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. All my love and aloha to you and your whole family. Ahui ho. Until next time, love you guys.
What a powerful message. Thank you, Pastor Mike. As a dad and as a husband, it's really great to see and hear a message about how God is working in our own family and in our own home.
And if any part of that message resonated with you and blessed you, please stick around. Our prayer team is ready to pray with you.
And have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next weekend when our church service is going to be hosted by the Howe family.
See you next week!